You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
It's been a week. We're back. We're alive. Episode 47. Here we are. I'm here, of course, with Brock. What's up, Brock?
Not much, you know, just reeling back from our week break. Kind of by accident, but yeah. We're back. Yeah. So more spicy takes coming your way.
Yeah, I think crap hit the fan for both of us at the same time. And then Friday, I thought I was dying of a stroke.
Yeah, that was scary.
Yeah.
Just getting the ping being like, hey, by the way, I can't move.
Yeah. My arm is numb and a sore to my teeth, so I might die. Heads up.
So just a heads up.
But I'm alive and well. We're good. We're ready. We're here. We had to push this week back too just because of traffic and other BS, but we're getting it done. We're doing the deed.
We're holding it down.
We're holding it down. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So the Kit Kat rivalry weekend has passed. We'll touch on that a little bit. We actually have some questions. We have some questions.
We did it.
We've only ever gotten like one question the entire history of the show, and this is year two. And we're going to respond back to at SpaceAviator97 here shortly because he asked a question the day after we recorded last. So he's been waiting 2 weeks for this response. And it's a little late, but I was going to give you my answer that I had ready for you. So we'll get you in there, Space Aviator, at 97. And we also have some other questions. So we're going to actually touch on that first. Then we're going to go over to the Kit Kat rivalry weekend. The regular season wrapped up with 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, last weekend here. We're going to have a little bit of a this week's playoff outlook and a little bit of touch of who we think is going to win the whole thing. We'll go over the big bracket next week when that's all determined and ready to go. And then we have some tickets on sale. Who is ready to get their pocket, murder it, resurrect it, and murder it again?
I'm ready for those VIP seats.
I'm
excited.
Actually not, and I didn't buy any tickets, but we'll go over that. We'll go over that. Yeah. We'll go over that a little bit later. We got some overthoughts. I am so conflicted. This skin that came out, this Winston skin. Of course the Fusion had to lose the championship, and a skin came out for a tank character that looks freaking amazing. But the whole reason it's here is because the London Spitfire beat the Philly Fusion. So it kind of stings. I actually logged in and bought it with my freaking tokens because it's awesome.
Because what else are you gonna do with them?
Yeah, pretty much. And that and overthoughts are really going to wrap it up like usual, but let's start off with these questions first here. And I did want to get at Space Aviator 97's question out of the way because, sorry, he asked this question back on August 14th, like the day after we recorded. And I'm like, all right, cool, we'll get to this question, you know, next week because, you know, that's the rivalry week. There's some implications here. You had the Valiant playing basically for their playoff lives. And the question that he proposed was, which team do you think has the best chance of barely squeezing into the play-ins, and which team do you think is most likely to fall out? And my answer to the first part of that, squeeze into the play-ins, I actually picked the Chengdu Hunters. They're kind of one of those teams that has... They're a bit inconsistent, but like I kind of felt like they had just enough push to barely make it in there. My honorable mention there would have been the Valiant, but they had a pretty tough schedule. They had some tough games to win to be able to squeeze in there. Who did you have squeezing in there?
Yeah, I actually had the Valiant. I know we were just talking about this right before we started recording, but
I kind of believed that they were going to beat the Gladiators. I kind of had hope that they could bring that playoff magic a little bit before the play-ins, but the Gladiators are very good, and the Shock are very good. Yeah. Not saying the Valiant aren't very good, they just aren't nearly there yet, and we saw that from a 7-1 map differential between the two matches. On the other hand, I thought Shanghai was going to slip out. They have not looked good at all this stage. So I'm happy that they made it. I'm happy they kind of just got in there. But they looked shaky. And I would not have been surprised if they lost one match too many.
Yeah. No, I agree there. Shanghai got 4-0'd by the Spark. We'll go over that here shortly. Just this past weekend. So, they've been looking pretty shaky. I think if I was asked this question maybe a week before, I think I'd be able to easily say someone like the Paris Eternal, and not make that like the easiest question or the easiest answer ever, because the Paris Eternal have just been so blah. But that's who I would like kind of go with to a point. Looking at the schedule that the LA Valiant had this last week, I'd say that would probably be like the solid pick there. But if this was like a few weeks back, I'd probably say the Paris Eternal were more than likely going to be the guys that slip away. After they've been kind of looking, I don't know, just there. That team's so hard. The whole season, man. Thanks, Paris Eternal. You're killing me.
You know, they looked so good.
I slammed my mouth.
The issue was that their schedule was so hard. They had a really difficult schedule.
They did.
I think if they had something towards the lighter end or the easier end, if they ended up playing, you know, Dallas twice or something like that, or Houston again, I think Paris would have had a really good shot.
Yeah.
But, hey, that's the way the dice fall sometimes.
Yeah. You could just use the Eagles motto. There's always next year.
There's always next year. Good Lord.
You had some people tweet at you as well with some questions.
I did. We'll start off with @Kool-Aid asks, if you could attend any homestand outside of Boston, which three would you want to attend the most? And I'm going to cater that to you saying outside of Philly.
Okay.
Which one do you want to attend the most?
I would do Boston, because I've actually have never been to Boston before. I've been to Massachusetts, but I've never been to Boston. I'd say Boston, D.C., because I love D.C., and probably, gosh, the last one would probably be a place that I've never been before. So, I would say London.
Oh,
because I've never been to England.
I like that pick a lot.
Yeah.
I was actually going to say, I think number one would just be Paris.
Paris.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of bad things about touristy stuff in Paris, but I feel like if I was there for a reason, like for the Overwatch League, that would be pretty fun. And then you get to do some of the more touristy stuff. But
Seeing the Eiffel Tower in person, I always felt would be an amazing thing to do.
Especially since it's fun to do touristy stuff sometimes, and I forget about that since I'm so close to New York City.
Yeah.
And when I walk through Times Square and I just see everybody taking pictures, it's like, all right, buddy. Please move. I am late for work. God, stop. It's a billboard. Don't take a picture of the billboard. And so I forget sometimes. It's pretty cool. I would also love to see Florida. I want to go to a Mayhem game, and I want to go to a VASCON. So absolutely, I think that would be so great. And then finally, I think a Vancouver game would be kind of cool. Being on that side of the North America, oh my god, that sentence is pretty bad. Going to the West Coast, I think, would be really cool, mostly because I haven't been to Vancouver in a very, very long time. I was pretty young last time I was there. I was visiting for vacation, so I feel like I didn't really appreciate it as much, and I know there's a lot of cool stuff to do on that side of Canada, so I think that'd be a really interesting place to see.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go to Vancouver. I've been up and down Eastern Canada and loved every minute of it. Vancouver would be, I didn't really think about that, it'd be a great destination.
And then I have one more question. Okay. And this was from Loadscreen, my former colleague.
Will the medics be on hand for the first round of the playoffs when the NYXL choke? And I think that's going to be a resounding yes.
Because they got to come back 2020, so.
When they eventually choke and lose in the first round, they'll be back.
Yeah, there's kind of like, I don't like New York teams because I'm a Philly fan. So, like, I already, like, don't get me wrong, I love the players. I love the impressive Overwatch that NYXL plays. I kind of have, like, this dislike to them just for the simple fact that, like, they're a New York team. And as you're probably well aware, New York and Boston don't get along very well either. I do like giving and providing an unbiased opinion.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this in an unbiased manner. The NYXL are not going to win the championship. Sorry, NYXL fans. They're going to choke again because they've proven that they could just do it over and over again. And I don't think I don't think the playoffs are any different.
We'll see. I agree with you. I think they just haven't done any sort of, you know, had any success rather in this meta right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. We'll talk about it a little bit more in the later down in the pod, but it's not going to be the same meta actually because Sigma is going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah. Because
Blizzard loves to just ruin things.
Yeah.
Nah, just kidding. It's good to spice things up right in the playoffs, right? Everyone loves random rule changes in their playoffs.
I know the fans are, or the players are probably hating it. Because there are a lot of fans right now that aren't happy that Sigma's there. I know XQC, he bothers me, but like he's like playing it and just like and complaining. And I feel like he's kind of right. It's like shield after shield, like playing like against Orisa Sigma is like so toxic. I know I believe Taimu was also voicing his opinion on that as well, like, you know, how it's just not fun playing a combo like that. So throwing Sigma into the mix in at playoff time, in my personal opinion, I don't think it's a good idea. But
yeah, I think it was Surefor who tweeted it out saying the DPS role is essentially dead, considering there's no chance to outplay the other DPS anymore. There's very low ability to make a play because you're dodging 8 shields and the defense is too strong. So you have to slowly waddle in, run through the shields, and then try to face smash somebody with your Symmetra Beam or with your Orisa gun or lucky Sigma ult or something like that. So
it's almost like I kind of see it like thinking of it like the way that he's wording it. I almost kind of find it like a GOATS where it's just like just smash your head against a wall kind of thing and just see who gets a pick first. Except for like the defense has a bit of an advantage with all the shields.
Exactly.
But like it's basically going to turn into like here's one team, here's another team, and it's going to turn out into this like line brawl. to determine the win, to determine the winner. Bleh.
Yeah, like who even knows at this point? It is insane.
With Sigma, I don't think we're gonna really see someone like we're not gonna really see Widowmakers. Too many damn shields. Like we're not like it's gonna hinder so many characters. I know the meta shifts, so you're gonna see that all over the place. But like if you're playing a Widowmaker against an Orisa Sigma combo, like what do? You just shoot a shield the whole time. You don't even hit people.
You have to get super creative with your sightlines, man, because there is no way you're finding heads, especially when you have Symmetra on the other side, teleporting everybody between two different walls, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's definitely crazy. So what happened this past weekend?
Oh, we got the Kit Kat rivalry weekend,
Kit-Kat. And
it was great. I think it was great if you weren't a Boston fan.
Or an LA Valiant fan.
Or a Valiant fan. That actually, I take it back. It hurt way worse than Valiant because they had a shot.
Yeah.
And they were just handed the toughest schedule possible to sneak into the playoffs.
Ugh.
But we did start with a pretty medium game, the Atlanta Reign versus the Dallas Fuel.
Yeah.
The Fuel looked like life. They looked like they had life, rather, but the Atlanta Reign took it all the way, 3-1.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised that the Dallas Fuel took a map from them because the Dallas Fuel have been performing pretty under par lately, which still hurts me. It hurts to say. I'm just the Dallas Fuel are a team that I've been now waiting for a year to wake up. I mean, they did pretty good stage four last year, but like they've just been struggling.
I've accepted
their struggles
it.
Continue. It's just it sucks. I love old Envious. It just really sucks seeing it.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where teams have to be bad. It happens.
Yeah.
Teams go through their slumps and their rough patches. Mm-hmm. We see it in traditional sports all the time.
Yeah.
So
look at the Browns.
Look at the Browns. Look at the Astros for so long. They're just such a non team. Yeah. But
both of those teams, again, they will have their shot to be back. The Astros are now one of the best teams in the AL. The Browns are looking like a offensive juggernaut. Mm-hmm. So, given time, the Fuel, I think the Fuel will have their shot. They're Envious. It might just be Envy, the Contenders team. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They are very good. They usually produce very talented tanks, much like Trill. And I believe Elivote was on that for about a hot second till signed by Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So, there are talent inside the system for Dallas. They just need to call them up, and the coaching staff, all eight of the coaches, need to be able to to pick the right guys and set the right lineups and see a win.
Definitely.
But that was followed up by
the boys in blue on both sides
the
here.
The boys.
Boston Uprising versus the New York Excelsior. And the Uprising, again, playing with our hearts, winning that third map to start the reverse sweep.
And then on Junkertown, they get held at 0-0 and lose 3-1.
I would have loved to see the Boston Uprising just upset the Excelsior, just kind of put a little bit of salt in the wound to the loss.
Just one more kick in the shins for the rivalry there. Just a little gotcha to end the season with. But
yeah. Here's to hoping that the Uprising have a better season next season. I really wish they had a better season. I wish they were in the form like they were last year.
Me and you both, man. Me and you
both.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just one team that's been I feel like that team's just a roller coaster. Like even last year, like they started off like fairly unknown. Like the beginning of the season, I'm just like, who the hell's Kellex? Who the heck is like it's Stryker and Dream Casper, but like who are these people? And then like they came out with a bang and they looked really good. And even when they lost Dream Casper to the allegations and stuff, I was just like, when that happened, I'm just like, well, there goes the Boston Uprising. That guy was a stud on the stage, he's not the greatest human in the world, but a stud on the stage. I'm like, oh, they're done, and they proved me wrong. And going into this season, like they had fusions now. They lost Stryker, but I was like, you know what? Like this team's probably going to be pretty good. And fortunately, they disappointed both of us.
Yeah, there's not a lot of teams that have so much random, almost drama, attached to them. Much like the Boston Uprising, they traded Gamsu at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Fusion couldn't play one game against Shanghai. Then we trade Note for RCK. Everyone thinks everybody wins from that trade. Everyone was hyping up. Oh my god, they did it. What a great fair trade for both teams. Both teams suffered.
F no.
Yeah. Then
Note's the man. No offense
to RCK. Then we have the weird meta shift. Mm-hmm. We see RCK getting injured. He has an eye infection, what it looks like.
Ugh.
That one's still more towards the rumor mill, but he did post on Twitter a little bit ago that his eyes did hurt, and that's why we didn't see him. We didn't see Angod and Kellex play together for whatever reason. So this team is just rife with random, I don't want to say nonsense, but random hindrances and hurdles and distractions. Stuff that really hurts a team, especially with a brand new coach. With Gumba coming in instead of in place of Krusty, you see the obvious change between the two coaching styles.
Mm-hmm.
You see Krusty bring the shock to an amazing point in their team's lifespan, going 23-5 overall, and then freaking you see Boston ridiculous. Losing. They went 0-7 this round, so they went 1-13 in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
So that's pretty rough.
Yeah. But that's a tough one
for it happens. Just like the crew. Like the fuel. You hit the rough patches. You figure it out. Look, it is season two of a brand new league. You're going to have coaches that are messing around with stuff and trying to figure out the best way to outplay your opponents. And things fail. Things will fail sometimes because they work in scrims, but they don't work on stage for whatever reason. And that happens. It just happens in any sport. It happens with other teams. Just unlucky to happen to the Uprising this season.
Mm-hmm.
And spiel. Sorry.
No, definitely. It's good to get some insight from an Uprising fan of the insane emotional season that they've had.
Yeah. Don't check in on the Boston Uprising Discord because they'll tell you that they're ready to burn the whole house down. They want nothing to do with everything next season. So.
Oh my gosh.
Anywho. Yeah. More importantly, the actual fun game of this day Saturday was the Shock versus the Titans, a rematch of the stage championship. And the Shock win in a thriller 3-2. This one is a good one.
The team that we're going to, at least one of the teams that we're going to be seeing in Philly. The San Francisco freaking Shock, baby.
No doubt. These two teams will most likely make it into the grand final bracket there.
Yeah, definitely. I love this matchup. I've never been so hyped for a matchup before the Shock Titans stage two. Oh my god, I was all in. And that game didn't disappoint. So we get to see a rematch of that. And oh man, 3-2 Shock. Yeah. Gotta love it. Love the Shock this season. They're so exciting.
Yeah, we'll talk more about them in a little bit. But man, it's great to see Vancouver also doing pretty well. But also very mortal. They are clearly beatable in this 2-2-2, but asserts their dominance. Still, regardless.
Oh yeah, they're not a pushover. They're still a powerhouse of a team. Not as much as they were though. When Goats was there. Goats did them very well.
Goats will do that.
Yeah.
So last on Saturday we have the hometown battle. I forget when the battle for LA is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Their rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important game for the Valiant, because for all intents and purposes they had to win this game because. No one really thought they're going to be the Shock, and they couldn't find a way. They lose 3-1 to the Gladiators.
Yeah, this was a must win, for the Valiant. So the Valiant ended 12-16. The Chengdu Hunters only won one game more than them. They were 13-15. And the Chengdu Hunters, we'll get into this here shortly, made it with a minus 11 map differential. The Valiant had a minus 5 map differential. So these games this weekend were extremely important to the Los Angeles Valiant. And unfortunately, this one didn't go their way. 3-1 Gladiators. I was really pulling for the Valiant. You know, I like fact fiction. That team really... like grew on me more. Like I've always loved Custa. Like I've enjoyed watching this team. I've enjoyed watching their resurgence from their terrible start to a pretty damn good team. That their terrible start kind of buried them pretty early and kind of bit them in the rear. Yeah.
Yeah, you hate to see it.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, when it took them just a little bit of time to get going. Because when they were going, they looked great. They looked great in a 3-2-1 meta. Just rough to transition out of that. Once you find your groove to once again have to pivot.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on to Sunday. Starting off with a team I thought was going to slip out.
Yeah.
The Shanghai Dragons versus the Hangzhou Spark. And the Spark, they were... I thought they were dead at the beginning of the stage. I thought they were awful. They slapped the Shanghai Dragons 4-0. Like, not close. Yeah.
Two teams that I feel like are negatively impacted by 2-2-2, even though the Shanghai Dragons ran a little bit of an unconventional comp at the beginning of stage three to win stage three, which was awesome. I love the Shanghai Dragons. I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, I thought the Spark were more dead than the Dragons. The Spark brought it to them 4-0. I don't know.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, you just don't know, and it is so wild. The Spark have to. It's almost like the Spark you have to charge up a little bit. You know,
I swear
you know
that those toys. League is so freaking weird.
It is. Do you know those toys you have to, like, wind up to get going? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just the Hanzo Spark. You have to just, you take a couple matches, you wind them up, they lose 0-4, they lose 3-1, and then you let go, and then it's 4-0 everybody else in a row.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately for the playoffs, they don't really get a second chance, so we'll see if they have a good grip on the meta with the multiple shield. What we think is going to be a multiple shield meta. I really think it will be after seeing a lot of streams and listening to a lot of the chatter on Twitter. Oh, but definitely.
Especially with Ligma.
Yeah. But Shanghai, they gotta prove something. They gotta wake back up.
Yeah. Agreed there.
Next up was the Atlanta Reign Boston Uprising, and this was not close.
The Atlanta Reign is freaking disgusting.
The Atlanta Reign, I should say, are very, very much here, very much dominant. They also went 7-0 along with the San Francisco Shock. They beat the 6-1 Washington Justice. They have proved themselves over good teams, and I am excited to see them go very far in the playoffs.
Yeah, and they definitely will. They look like a powerhouse team. And they 4-0'd the Boston Uprising, which isn't, like, okay, the most, like, impressive thing in the world. But, like, it kind of proves that it's just, like, you get the teams that are underperforming, and they just back them off. I'm like, all right, you know, next, easy clap kind of thing.
Right.
With 3-1 against the Fuel and 4-0 against your boys. But, like, I feel like they're going to do pretty well in the playoffs. I'd love to see them. Love to see them in Philly.
Definitely.
Maybe the second time I'd get to see them, but DeFranlis this time.
Yeah. All three of their DPS have just played out of their mind. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what's been carrying them. That, and someone else pointed out, someone on Reddit or Twitter pointed out that Dogman, once Atlanta adapted to his playstyle, a more aggressive support playstyle, they have succeeded under that playstyle. Trying not to repeat the same word, but it's the only word I can really think of right now, considering, you know, the Dogman was a feeder at the beginning because he played really aggressively. He would push forward, he would look for picks, and once Atlanta realized that we should play around that, or once the GPS kind of said, hey, let's push up with him, then success kind of came around. So
I feel sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, because look forward to seeing that again and again and again in a multiple barrier meta where you have to push through those.
Yeah, most definitely. If I had to buy a jersey for an Atlanta Reign player, 100% Dogman. That guy's a beast. He is.
All right, who got next? Who following up? Oh, it's the New York Titans. Excelsior versus the Titans. And I don't understand. New York, they look so blind sometimes, and then they go the distance with the Vancouver Titans. They lost to them. They lost 3-2, but the Titans should have stomped them the way New York has been playing this whole stage.
Yeah, and especially the way that the Titans have been playing against NYXL. This was the match I was waiting for in the very beginning of the season before we got to see the Titans bitch slapped the NYXL in, what was that? That was stage 2 playoffs or stage 1 playoffs? I can't remember. They just bitch slapped the NYXL like 3-1. I'm like, okay, well, there's the clashes of the powerhouses and
that was stage two.
That was stage 2. Okay. 3-2 though. So yeah, the Titans are a little bit more beatable. NYXL still kind of appears to be predictable, as they kind of have been this entire season, and that is why they're going to choke.
Yeah, don't worry, the medics will be around.
We're gonna get Twitter raided with like a bunch of people with pitchforks, virtual pitchforks. The NYXL fans, sorry.
It's fine. it's whatever. You know what? If that happens, good. I'm glad. That means people are listening. We got him. Joke's on you, Twitter.
Got him. Yeah.
Got him.
You're listening to a podcast with people from two places that hate New York teams. I really do try not to be biased, but I do like talking a little bit some smack.
Oh, I accept my bias 100%.
Yeah. Definitely.
All right, last awesome game. Things. Last game on Sunday, it was the heartbreaker, the season ender.
Yeah.
When the lowly LA Valley had to find a way to beat Thanos, and they got snapped. They got snapped 4-0.
Yeah, this is honestly no big surprise to me. The LA Valiant, man, that's tough. The Valiant fans have got to feel disappointed, but, like, if I was a Valiant fan, I'd kind of go into this weekend like, yeah, they're done. Like, if you're going to take more of a realist view, which I tend to take when I'm watching sports, like if the Flyers are going up against a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning, Tampa Bay Lightning are going to smoke the Flyers. I'm looking at that matchup like, yep. Or you look at the way that the Fusion, you'll see my pick with the Fusion later, but it's one of those things where it's just like, okay, well, yeah, the Fusion might be able to do this, but like when they get to this point, there's no way in hell. I'm saying this now. There's no way in hell that the Fusion have home field advantage, whatever you want to call it. They're not making the championship. As much as I want it to happen, and I hope I'm wrong, and I hope if I am wrong, everyone shames us on Twitter, or just at least at me.
Hold on.
At least at me. I mean, more like shame us, like tweet at the podcast and tell me how stupid I am. but I don't know. I'm a realist, and if I was an LA Valiant fan, I'd be like, I'd throw in the towel. Yeah. You'd need a miracle to come out of this week alive, and they didn't get it.
Yeah, I would definitely blame, if I were to blame someone. I don't like blaming a lot of people because the game is legitimately a 12-man game between the six guys that are on the stage and the six guys or however many coaches and support staff you have in the back rooms. Mm-hmm. Because it really boils down to the entire team for this game. Yeah. I would definitely want to look at the coaching that was fired halfway through the season. Maybe they're fired at stage one after their 0-7 start. Because say if they went even 2-5, Valiant are in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So super unfortunate that the first stage was so abysmal. We would definitely see the Valiant over teams like Chengdu and Shanghai, but... What can you say but unlucky in this business sometimes?
Yeah, no, definitely. They got the short end of the stick when it comes to ending the season there. Yeah, next year, Valiant. Next year.
Yeah, exactly. Next year actually is going to look great.
Oh, my God, yeah, yeah. This is going to be one of those teams I wouldn't say would be on the shock level, but would come back. And if they're in the same form as they are this year, they'll definitely be able to pull their weight.
I mean, you guys have four current and former World Cup players, so the talent's there. I mistake Muma for someone on the Valiant, whatever. Fact Fiction probably will make the playoffs soon, World Cup team eventually. Markup. But
yeah, Fact Fiction is the man.
But anywho, yeah, that's all the past. Yeah, that's 2 weeks ago. Yep. What's coming up this week? What's happening? It's happening tomorrow, right?
Yeah, it happens tomorrow, Friday, 8:30 as in August 30th. And I'm going to look this up right now so I don't mistake the time, because it says, at 9 o'clock Eastern time. I always have to, like, go to, like, the schedule page of Overwatch League because I don't trust anything else that I see, because I'm not sure if it's going to be, like, like when you're on the schedule page, it makes sure that your times are local. The playoffs start with the Chengdu Hunters versus the Guangzhou Charge. So first off, to kind of give you an idea of the top seven teams that made it in the play-in bracket. Number seven is the London Spitfire. Number eight is the Seoul Dynasty. I'm going to say the Shanghai Dynasty. That would have been weird. Number nine, the Guangzhou Charge. Number 10, the Philadelphia Fusion. Number 11, the Shanghai Dragons. And number 12, barely squeezing in there, the Chengdu Hunters. So those are the teams that are in this play-in bracket. And basically, the way that the play-in bracket works is we have this first match that's coming up on Friday. And then the rest of the matches are on The rest of the matches are on, I guess technically Saturday. Hey, Blizzard, thanks. I'm just now realizing that the Fusion game's like butt crack of dawn. So we have the two matches on Friday that will determine who play the matches on Saturday. So the London Spitfire, the 7th seed, will play the lowest remaining seed, and the Dynasty will play the highest remaining seed. And from there, the winners advance and then get thrown into the playoff bracket as a whole, which we'll touch on. I guess shortly. Like there's not too much to really talk about with the playoff bracket after the play-ins, but. Getting back to the games, the Guangzhou Charge play the Chengdu Hunters. And I confidently see the current red hot Guangzhou Charge taking it to the Chengdu Hunters as much as I want the Hunters to win.
No doubt. I have the Charge easily bringing the Chengdu Hunters out of the playoff picture. Mm-hmm. I think they have an awesome grip on the meta. I think their teamwork is really good. I think Nero and Happy are an unreal combo. Oh my gosh, I really like Ryo and Hapa. So this team is looking really, really strong. And I would be super surprised to see them make an early exit.
Yeah, no, I would. The Hunters beating the Charge would be a lot more of a, I mean, it would technically be an upset because it's a 12 beating a 9, but I feel like that would be way more of an upset than just a 12 beating a 9. That'd be like a 12 beating a 4, kind of, like, to me, the way that the Charge have been playing lately.
Yeah, 100%.
The next match is my boys versus the Shanghai Dragons, and I think the Philadelphia Fusion have this. The Dragons have been looking very suspect. Getting 4-0'd by the Spark, who, I mean, if we were talking about the Spark sucking at the end of Stage 3, you'd think we'd be crazy. But since 2-2-2 hasn't really done them much favors, I was really thinking that the Dragons were going to beat the Spark this past week. But they got 4-0'd by them, so I'm not really feeling too good about the Shanghai Dragons.
Same. I think Philly is not going to let a repeat happen from the Atlanta homestand. Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
When Shanghai really brought it to them. I think Philly is prepared this time around. I think the break between the end of stage 4 and the play-ins, I think that's a great time for them to be practicing. Mm-hmm. I think this will really help them. I don't think Shanghai's team is prepared for the meta. And it's not saying that the players themselves are not prepared. I think that they may struggle not having Youngjin on a carry role like Roadhog. I think DM might have a hard time not playing Widow. I think Ding is going to find it difficult to play the Pharah, that these heroes that really carried them to win that stage 3, or did they win? They won stage 3, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
These heroes that really brought them to the championship, they're pretty much useless now in the meta that I assume it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So look to see Philly really take advantage of that and try to use that game as a jumping off point for them to make that crazy playoff run again, just like last year.
Yeah, and one thing, Philly, Sato, don't freaking be so damn over aggressive. Like, you know what you have to do. It's just, oh my god, it kills me.
Just get ready for it. Get ready for him.
Yeah. That mofo, I swear to God. So assuming that these teams, these two teams win, these picks are correct, that would put the Guangzhou Charge up against the Seoul Dynasty and the Philadelphia Fusion against the London Spitfire. With those, Fusion versus Spitfire would be the first game. I got to go back to being a realist. I think Spitfire beats the Fusion.
Yeah.
I think Spitfire beats either of those two teams.
I think the Spitfire got this one mostly because I like their tanks better. Mm-hmm. It's pretty what it boils down to. I like Fury and Jester way more than Saito and Boko.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. I definitely think the Spitfire are a stronger team, and especially with people like Saito being over aggressive 24/7, they'll be able to punish that. The other game would be the Charge versus the Dynasty, and honestly, I gotta go with Charge again.
Give me more Charge. I want more Charge gameplay. I think the Dynasty are just really coasting. They kind of got the seed from, I don't want to say easy schedules, but a lot of just barely winning games and just kind of getting by. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see Dynasty kind of surprise me and show me that they still got it. They're still the team that we think they are. Mm-hmm. But the Charge momentum right now is almost too much to handle, I think.
No, yeah, definitely. I agree there. I am so ready for some Charge action. But moving along, so if we had the so the way that the bracket looks, if we have the London Spitfire and the Charge, they would then advance to the 2019 playoff bracket. So that was the play-in bracket. The playoff bracket is where the big boys are right now. To go over very briefly the matchups that would happen. So starting off, ranked number one is the Titans. So number one would play the lower seed, the lowest seed, the play-in winner that is the lowest. So in the case, if in our scenario, it would be the Charge. And that starts on 8-5. And then the Spark versus the Gladiators, that's also on 8-5. That one is already determined. The Spark are number 4, Gladiators are number 5. Then the next day, which would be Friday the 6th, would be the NYXL versus, the highest of the play-in teams. So in our case would be the London Spitfire, which would be a hell of a match. And then Friday, September 6th, would be the Atlanta Reign versus the San Francisco Shock. So San Francisco Shock ended up in 3. The Reign ended up at 6. From there, September 7th and 8th are going to be some games. Those, I guess, technically aren't determined yet. And then we have another week of games after that. And then I actually get to meet Brock for the first time in person in Philadelphia, I predict the San Francisco Shock will win season 2 of the Overwatch League. Who you got?
My bracket's really boring. I have the Shock. Actually, it's not that boring. I have the Reign sneaking in. I think the Reign are going to end up making it to the finals. I just love their play right now. I think they're a great team. I think they have a shot. So I actually have them losing to the Shock in the beginning, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But as it looks, I'm looking at the bracket.
Yeah, they're double elimination.
Yeah, so when you lose, you go down the loser's bracket. If you win the loser's bracket, you go to the finals.
Yeah, yep.
So I think the Reign lose that first round to the Shock because that's unlucky, and then fight their way through the bracket.
Fight their way back. Hey, I should have noted that it was a double elimination bracket. So that's how we get several weeks of playoff games.
So much more of Watch to come.
So much more. So much.
If you
more.
Think you're done, you're a fool.
Yeah. It's crazy. I'm excited though. It's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm excited for Philly.
Same. I'm so ready.
So while we were gone, the 2020 schedule was released, or announced on August 20th, and 8 days later, yesterday, the tickets were on sale, and we did go over this a little while ago. I don't remember how long ago it was announced, but basically the matches are going to be played like homestands this year,
which is going to
pretty
be
pretty cool.
So fun, and I wish I had a better adjective for that, but that's really what's going to be. It's going to be fun. It's going to have a lot to offer, and I'm not hyping it up because you're going to spend $300 to go, but trust me, I might be the world's biggest salesman for these homestand tickets. The only thing I want is the Overwatch League to succeed.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it kind of involves us paying $300 to go see the tickets. But
I saw that Philly is actually getting three homestands. One of them is in Atlantic City, which
talk about losing money.
Kind of annoys me a little bit, but it is what it is. The Fusion, they're playing their games at the Met in Philly. I've actually never been to that venue before. So the tickets go on sale. First off, it's through Ticketmaster. At least ours in Philly is. GG. Ticketmaster is...
Yeah, you get price gouged for no reason.
You get price gouged, and their website's just... They're just not good. Sorry, Ticketmaster.
Don't apologize. Don't dare you apologize.
I feel bad talking crap, but it's just like... You get the fees. Like I said, it's like you get fisted and then they punch you in the face after they're done taking the fist out of your rear end.
Good Lord.
And that excrement that's left over is the fees that you have to pay to get really vulgar and graphic with it. It's the pink eye. And then you get a website that's like borderline not functioning. So I looked and like face value of those tickets for Philly for like the non-VIP tickets are like $145 a ticket. Now they are a two-day ticket, so cool, like that's cool, but I'm at a point right this second, I have so many expenses coming out and new hockey season and soccer season coming up, like I just straight up can't afford it. I spoke to one of my colleagues at work, well, two of my colleagues, the one already pulled the trigger on the tickets, so he's going, and I talked to one of my other colleagues, Phil at work. And I was like, hey, do you think I should just, like, kind of hold off and see what happens? He's like, yeah. He's like, that's what he was going to do. Like, he kind of finds that price a little high, and it is. And it kind of sucks because it's like, I don't know. I wasn't expecting $145. I was expecting to maybe pay, like, $75. Maybe I'm just being a cheapo, but, like, I wasn't expecting that high of a ticket.
You're not alone, as... Twitter definitely let me know they did not like the ticket prices. Not that I had anything to do with them.
Yeah.
But just with the conversing with a lot of people that were excited to buy them, and especially buy the VIP tickets, you saw that people changed their mind very quickly. Mm-hmm. Especially when, you know, Boston doesn't have a venue yet. And the VIP tickets are $350.
Yeah, you're like, what am I even going to do? Like, where? What am I even going
to
see?
Did I literally pay money to sit next to Bob Kraft? Like, I don't know. Why do I want to pay that much to do that?
No.
Oh, goodness gracious. So you're definitely not in the wrong about asking for, or rather, wanting a lower price. Especially when we see the Gladiators and the Shock pay $55, $60 per game. So, yes, in theory, that would be $120 for the weekend. I believe that's what it was. I would probably double-check. But it's crazy. It is a lot. And as I kind of dabbled on in a recent article, there are fees and reasons why the tickets are expensive as they are, which sucks. Because New York, Boston, Philly are big cities that have a lot of sports history and a lot of good sports history, that the tickets may have just been expensive due to price history, by price memory. Yeah. And that sucks because we aren't traditional sports. We're a little bit different. We don't need the same things. However, we do need time to set up the computers. We need the refs there. We need the cabling and the crews to set up and build and break down. So there is a lot that goes into the ticket, and then at the end of the day, we do need to realize that the team needs to make money.
Yeah.
It is a business. They do need to make a profit, and especially in Boston and New York, where rent and venue place, just renting out a venue is legitimately some of the hardest things you'd ever have to do as an organization because of how busy those cities are. So, yeah, prices suck. I feel bad, but I did shell out to buy the opening for Boston. So if you want to come hang out with your boy, I'll be in wherever venue we get to see the Boston.
Wherever the hell it's even at.
probably my basement. Who knows? Actually, no, it's going to be the weekly Uprisings basement. That's what they had decided.
Oh, my gosh. I'll be down for that. Hell get us in there, weekly Uprising.
A bartender would be great.
There you go. Now, I did actually write an article on Level 1, level1esports.com, the greatest esports website of all time, of
course. Check it out.
I mean, everyone's doing it. Write for us. And I wanted to get, a brief opinion and touch on this. What do you think of the schedule format? So the schedule format, there is only 2 days a week now. And there is a maximum of, I believe it was 8 teams playing at one time. I'm trying to find this now. Yeah. Each team plays 28 games. Just like before, but you have Saturdays and Sundays now. Those are your days.
I love that.
I do too for this fact. I don't have to worry about spending 2 extra days worrying about what does my schedule look like? Am I going to be able to make any game? Or am I going to be able to catch any games? Like, now I know. Saturday, Sunday. Boom. This is what's going to happen. Easy.
Even better is that Saturday, you will always know that if the games are at the ass crack of dawn, you can stay up for that because you don't have anything to do on Sunday most of the time.
Now, the one thing that I did write in this article that really sucks, and this just this applies to the Atlanta Reign fans, is you don't even get to see your team until week 4. So having these condensed schedules does kind of suck because you're like waiting to see your team, and it's just... Sometimes it's just unfortunate.
Yeah, it's kind of like a bye week, but it happens more than once. Yeah. And we'll see. I think that's important to players since burnout is one of the biggest causes for retirement in esports right now.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully these bye weeks, these relaxing weeks will help a lot. And I do enjoy how they tried to keep travel to a minimum, depending on your team. Yeah. I know there's a couple of articles out there already that outline the distances each team has to go through. And I know, at least for Boston, they are in China for one weekend, and they play Guangzhou, Chengdu, Shanghai, and then I think Paris?
Ooh. Yeah.
It's a strange kind of run. I forget who the last team is, but they do play... in the same zone for the most part. And I don't want to say continent because sometimes teams will bounce around a bit. But they do try to keep flights to a minimum.
And it's like, it's the first half is like everybody plays Pacific or Atlantic. And then I know that they're splitting these up even more in the divisions next year. Where it's like an Atlantic and like an Atlantic North and Atlantic South. And there's like a Pacific North or Pacific South. I'm not 100% sure what it is off the top of my head right now. I have looked at it before. But it's not until like halfway through the season where you actually start seeing some of these divisions play each other. I'm trying to find one now. Because I know that Philly will start playing over there as well over in Asia. And that's going to be tough to watch. Yeah, it looks like week 16 is when it starts. Week 16 starts with the Houston in Philly, actually. So it's Houston Outlaws versus the Dynasty, Justice versus the Spark, Philly versus the Hunters. And then you have Uprising versus Vancouver, Excelsior versus Valiant, Spitfire versus Fuel. So you'll start getting a mix of East versus West, and Yeah, it's gonna be a little interesting.
It's gonna be great.
I'm ready. Yeah, my body is ready though. Oh yeah. Over thoughts. I just put the Winston skin. Did you have anything for over thoughts?
No.
What are your thoughts?
Now I'm thinking about it now. I don't think I have anything super exciting to talk about, unfortunately. I think the Sigma meta is going to be interesting. That's going to be kind of the most talk about thing. Oh, I mentioned this real quick. The role queue beta thing about your MMR staying the same.
Oh, yeah.
Your rank in role queue, as we have seen via forums and threads from guys at Blizzard, your role, or rather your SR from role queue will carry over into season 18. And a lot of people didn't realize that, much like myself, so I kind of played a ton of DPS, so now I'm like 1900 DPS because I'm really bad.
Ooh.
Yeah, you're telling me. Apparently a Reinhardt Winston main can't aim. So weird.
I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, unluckers. Yeah. So, hey, you know what? That's fine because now I get my Winston skin. I can just one-trick Winston to the moon all the way back to 2500. And I'm going to buy it. When did it pop out? Last week? This week?
I think it popped
yesterday?
Out.
Today?
Yesterday or today? I don't know. I didn't. I actually was unaware until I looked at the one Discord community that I run.
I think that was... It must have been today.
Yeah.
Or either today or last night, because I don't think I touched Overwatch in the past 24 hours.
If you haven't seen it, it's basically Winston in like a aviator, old school like aviator, like jacket with like the goggles and the leather helmet, and basically his jet pack is like little jet engines, and it says Aces High on it.
And it's sweet. It's so cool.
It's so cool. I hate the fact that the reason it exists is because the London Spitfire beat the freaking Fusion, but oh my god, it's a really well done skin. And I'm kind of glad they did this, like the Jonak skin, and that skin. I wonder what kind of shock skin we're gonna get next year. You see that?
No, it's gonna be a nice Atlanta Rain skin.
The Atlanta Rain.
There it's gonna be a go. Bird.
It's a big bird.
Exactly. Oh wait, no, it's gonna be Moira with feathers.
Oh my god!
Feathers and a beak. You're welcome, internet.
Yes.
Get going.
You heard it here first.
Oh my god. Yes. Blizzard, I am available for hire for sweet ass skin, so let me know.
Just let me know. Yeah.
Alrighty. Do you have anything else for us?
That is all I had. Yeah, just that Winston skin.
Yeah, it's a sweet, sweet Winston skin. Yeah. Well, Meridon, let me know where I can find you, because I always know. I want to know what you're up to when we're not listening to you.
You can find me at The McGaming, and then twitch.tv/MidAtlanticGaming. School just started, so I won't be streaming as much anymore. I'm going to try to stream a little bit on the weekends. We'll see. We'll see how that works out. I say that every year, and I never stream because I just get swamped with work. But yeah, twitch.tv/MidAtlanticGaming, at The McGaming on Twitter.
Oh, wonderful. Make sure you go check him out. Give him a follow. Give him a sub. You know what? Give him a Twitch Prime sub.
Twitch, yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's this really awesome website called level1esports.com that I run with this guy named Brock. I don't know if you ever met that dude named Brock, but it is an esports blog site that is still kind of in the process of getting off the ground. I guess technically it's off the ground because we post things. I haven't really went too hard looking for writers, but that's going to change really soon just because I've been extremely busy. But we're looking for writers. And if you're a listener of the podcast and maybe you like writing about like Dota or Rainbow Six Siege or some other, video game that has like an eSport, like definitely let us know. We're actively looking for writers, and we'll give you the application. We'll also be posting on at level1esports blog on Twitter. Definitely follow that, and of course level1esports.com, with the one being the number one.
Excellent. I know I'm gonna have to go follow.
Oh yeah,
I'm already following. Just kidding. I'm already ahead of the curve.
You're already ahead there. Where can we find you at?
You can find me at esportsbrock on Twitter. You can see me posting about my recent articles from the Game House. I write for the Boston Uprising on thegamehouse.com. You can see me do previews, reviews, and fun analytical stuff. I'll be working on a Stage 4 by the numbers. I know a lot of people like my Stage 3 article, so I'm making sure I'll bring that one back.
Cool.
You can also find me, if you really want to, on Twitch at BrockGym underscore. Underscore at the end is very important because someone else owns Brock's Gym. And that one sucks. But, hey, you get your username when you get it, right?
Oh, yeah.
But most importantly, this podcast would not be brought to you, to your wonderful ears, if it wasn't for the Geekscape Network. That's geekscape.net. They have a brand new front page. They have a great, great looking new website.
Yeah, it's very flashy. It kind of gives you some thumbnails like right off the bat with the titles. I like it a lot. They've been talking a little while about revamping the website, the way it looks, and I think they did a pretty damn good job at it.
I think so too. It looks beautiful. Please go check it out. There's some amazing other podcasts there. And look, you just want to support other small podcasts, right? Give them a listen. They're great.
Oh yeah.
And hey, Maradon.
What's up?
You know who my favorite SoundCloud artist is?
Oh, who's that?
It's Max Brown. No doubt. Without a doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
He makes the best intro music for podcasts, including our own.
Ooh.
He is great. So please go check him out. Give him a follow if that's what SoundCloud does. Download his.
Yes, I believe that was what it was. I can't remember because it's been so while since we've jumped ship from SoundCloud. But yeah.
Either way, check him out. He's great. He's always coming up with new stuff. And a good friend of the pod.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely great stuff. Yeah, our intro is amazing. Check them out.
So that's all we got for you all today. Thank you so much for listening. And get ready for play-ins. We're so excited.
Yeah, let's go Fusion.
Alrighty. Have a good one, everybody.
See ya.
Hey, do you guys like horror movies?
I do.
Do they always have to be good movies?
No way.
I prefer them to be crap, personally.
Well, then you guys are in luck because Horror Movie Night is your expert podcast on both horror movies, good, bad, and gooey. It's just a show of three friends.
Brother. Yeah, two brothers and a friend, I think you would call. But we're all friends here, you know.
We're friends. We're all friends here. We're friends. We goof around. But we talk about movies, but we normally don't actually talk about movies, which is kind of weird. It's a weird dynamic. You have to really listen to understand it. But we put together a show every Friday morning. You can find our show, hmnpodcast.com. We're part of the Geekscape Network. We are, you know, we're good guys. Just check us out. We're good, silly guys. We're fun.
Please like me.
Please?
That's pretty much the impetus of everything we do, is to be accepted.
We want to be loved. hmnpodcast.com.